This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. And when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. The gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take as my text this morning that reading from the 32nd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 32. That's way toward the front, page 32. Genesis chapter 32, and beginning at verse 22, which I'd like to read again so it's fresh in our minds. Genesis chapter 32, and beginning at verse 22. Where we read, "And that same night Jacob arose and took his 2 wives, his 2 female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok River. And he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said to Jacob, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' And Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to Jacob, 'What is your name?' And Jacob said, 'Jacob.' And then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' And then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. And so Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has not been delivered.' And the sun arose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip." This morning I want to talk about the blessed. The blessed. By which I mean those who are blessed by God and those whom God chooses to bless. And what we learn in the scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testaments, is that God blesses those who value his blessing, who value his favor, who count the favor of God as more precious and more valuable than anything, more valuable than money or power or fame. Indeed, God blesses those who value his blessing, who long for his blessing, and who won't rest till they get it. And such people aren't perfect, and their lives, by and large, aren't perfect. but they know what they want. And what they want is God and his blessing. And Jacob was that kind of person. And that was true, even though his life was, to be quite frank, rather a mess. And even though he himself was flawed in so many different ways. But in order to grasp this, I think we have to back up a bit and see our text and this episode from Jacob's life in its broader context. In fact, I think probably really to understand Jacob, we probably have to go and begin at the beginning, even with the birth of Jacob and his brother Esau, as we find it in the 25th chapter of Genesis, because that's where the story of Jacob really begins. And so there we read, beginning at the 21st verse of the 25th chapter of Genesis, and Isaac, that's Jacob's father indeed, right? It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife Rebekah, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided, and you shall be, and the one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And when her days to give birth were completed, the text says, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak, and they called him Esau. And afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. And so his name was called Jacob, which literally means heel grabber, or metaphorically, the conniver, the cheat, the guy you can't trust. Indeed, coming to verse 29 of this same 25th chapter of Genesis, we have an example of this, of Jacob taking advantage of his older brother's impulsiveness and buying for nothing his older brother's position as Isaac's firstborn son. I think maybe you may remember the story. But we read beginning at verse 29 of the 25th chapter, and once when Jacob was cooking stew, because we're told in the text that Esau was a hunter and his father's favorite, and Jacob used to hang out with his mother in the kitchen. And here he is, he's cooking stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted, and Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew that you've cooked, because I'm exhausted, I'm famished. And Jacob said to him, sell me your birthright now. And Esau said, I'm about to die. And what use is a birthright to me? The birthright being given him because he's the firstborn, double of all his father's that he would inherit from his father and his father's blessing. But Jacob said, swear to me now. And so he swore to Jacob and sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. Indeed, Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and he drank, and he rose up and went away. And thus Esau despised his birthright. And then we come to Jacob stealing Esau's blessing. The 27th chapter of Genesis, beginning at verse 1, and we read, and when Isaac was old, Isaac is the father, old, and his eyes were dim that he could no longer see, he called Esau. Why? His older son, the possessor of the birthright. He called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. And he said, behold, I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. And now then, take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go on into the field and hunt game for me. and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, and that my soul may bless you before I die." Now, Rebecca, that's the mother. She was listening when Isaac spoke to her son Esau. And so when Esau went into the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me game and prepare me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord and before I die.'" And so Rebecca said, "And so now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and do as I command you, and go to the flock and bring two good young goats so that I may prepare them for delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau, he's a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man, and perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "Let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and bring those goats to me." And so he went and he took them and he brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. And then Rebecca took the best garment of Esau for her older son, which she had there in the house, and put it on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on Jacob's hands and on the smooth part of the back of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into his hands. And so he went into his father and said, "My father?" And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done for you as you told me, and now sit up and eat my game that your soul may bless me." And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" "Well, because it just was over there in the yard." And he answered, "Because he's the conniver. Oh, because the Lord your God granted me success." And then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near so that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." And so Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice." He couldn't see, but he had good ears. "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. And so he blessed him and he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he answered, "I am." And then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." And so he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near to me and kiss me, my son." And so he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." And then Isaac blessed Jacob. And he said, "May God give you the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. And cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." And the text continues, "And so, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. And he also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me.' And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' And he answered, 'I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau.' And then we read, Isaac trembled violently and said, who is it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came? And I have blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed. And as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even also me, my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly called Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me, my father? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made Jacob lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then do I have for you, my son? And the text continues, and so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of the mourning of my father are approaching, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and she called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. And now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, rise and flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran. Get out of town. Go and stay with my relatives way far away, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. And then I will send and bring you from there. Indeed, why should I be bereft of you and your father on the same day? And then we come to Jacob and his arrival in Haran, and Jacob receiving a dose of his own medicine. Indeed, we read in the 29th chapter of Genesis, and then Jacob went on a journey, and he came to the land of the people of the east. And as soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet Jacob and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. And Laban said, surely you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And Jacob stayed with him a month. And then Laban said to Jacob, because you're my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be as you work here on my estate? Now Laban had two daughters, the text says. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger, Rachel. And Leah had soft eyes, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. And Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. And then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed. And so Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah, the older daughter, and brought her to Jacob in the dark. And he went into her, and in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Can you imagine? Who are you? And so Jacob said to Laban, what is it you have done to me? Maybe Laban's name should have been Jacob. What is this that you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? And why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, it's not so done in our country to give the younger before the first. And so complete the week for this one, the older, and then we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years. And Jacob did so. He completed Leah's week, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. And if you keep on reading in the text, you know, more or less, this was how things went for Jacob as he continued to work for his uncle Laban. But even so, God blessed Jacob and prospered him. And his household increased, and his flocks and his herds increased. And by agrarian standards, Jacob became a wealthy man. And this created tension between Jacob and Laban and his sons. And Laban's sons began to accuse Jacob falsely, saying that he had what he had because he had stolen it from our father Laban, which was not true. But that's what they said. Indeed, notice chapter 31, and now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban, what they were saying, that Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. And then the Lord spoke to Jacob and said, "Return to the land of your fathers. It's time to go home to the promised land. Go home to your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." And so we see Jacob leaving Haran and heading back home without telling Laban. And so we read in chapter 31 and verse 17, "And so Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels and drove away with all his livestock and all his property that he had gained and the livestock in his possessions that he had acquired in Paddan Aram, and to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. And Laban had gone to shear sheep, and Jacob tricked Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. And he fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates," which is in Iraq, "and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead," which is in present-day Jordan, which was at one time the Transjordan, just on the east side of the Jordan River was certain tribes of Israel. And we continue reading in chapter 32, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and Jacob saw them and said, 'This is God's camp.' And Jacob sent messengers before him," because he's getting close to home. He sent messengers to Esau, his brother. I mean, he's leaving one mess and returning to another. "And so Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, to the land of Seir, to the country of Edom, instructing them to say this: 'Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now, and I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male servants and female servants, and I've sent to tell you, my lord, in order that I might find favor in your sight.' And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men. And then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two camps, thinking if Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape. And Jacob prayed." And this is really interesting. I read this prayer and I thought, well, this man has changed. And his failures and his difficulties have changed him. And about the way he sees himself and the way he sees God. "And Jacob prayed, 'O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good. I'm not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant, that you've shown to me. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. When I was going there, I had nothing, and now I'm coming back, and I've got two camps worth of wealth. And he continues, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, and he may come and attack me and the mothers with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Which brings us then to our text. And that same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok River. And Jacob took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the break of day. A man wrestled with him all night. Verse 25, and when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip. He touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then the man said, let me go, for the day has broken. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I know who you are, and I'm not letting go until you bless me. And he said to Jacob, what is your name? What is your name? His name is Cheater. Deceiver, usurper, the man you can't trust. I wonder how long it took before he actually told him his name. Because not only was that his name, but he had spent a fair amount of time living up to it. I had for many years had this fantasy of being able to go back in my own life, to go back in particular to the age of 6 and relive my life knowing what I know now, with the faith that I have now and whatever wisdom I have now, to live my life differently, to be good rather than to be bad, to be wise rather than to be foolish, to be kind rather than to be cruel. And yet I finally stopped having that fantasy because it finally dawned on me that the life that when I looked back on it was for me so discouraging was perhaps part of what makes me think and feel and believe what I do now. And maybe that was so for Jacob as well. And so he said to Jacob, what is your name? And Jacob said, my name means cheater and usurper. And the guy you can't trust. But be that as it may, I won't let you go till you bless me. And And so the man said to Jacob, let me go, for the day is broken. And Jacob said, I won't let you go till you bless me. And he said to Jacob, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. And verse 28, and then he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob. You will no longer be the conniver, the cheater, the guy you can't trust. I'm giving you a new name. Your name shall be Israel, which means he who strives with God. Your name shall be Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Verse 29, and then Jacob asked him, and tell me, what is your name? But he said, why do you ask my name? You know who I am. And there he blessed him. And so Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, which means the face of God, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. And the sun rose upon Jacob as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. And so I wonder, how about you? You don't have to be perfect to be blessed. But to be blessed, you have to want to be blessed. Even as the scriptures say, God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, or 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, God honors those who honor him. In fact, as I was looking at that, I was reminded of another famous passage from the life of Jacob. Jacob, Genesis chapter 28, and beginning at verse 20, and we read, and then Jacob made a vow. He made a promise to God. Jacob the conniver. He made a promise, a vow to God, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go and give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, then the Lord will be my God. And of all that you give me, Lord, I will give you a full tenth. In other words, I will honor you and I will worship you. And not just by what I say, because talk is cheap, but by what I do. I will give you what you expect from me, because you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. He's worthy, isn't it? Amen? The blessed. It's such a strange thing, Lord. And when you called Moses and spoke to him out of the burning bush that was not consumed, and you said, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to deliver my people out of 400 years of slavery. And Moses said to you, well, Lord, and they're going to ask, what is your name? And you said, tell them I am who I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of the father of many. I am the God of laughter. I am the God of the conniver. So close you associate with us. Help us to remember that, Lord. in all of our imperfections, you love us. In all of our imperfections, you died for us. In all of our imperfections, you associate with us so much that you call yourself by our names. Who could not love a God like you and surrender to a God like you and do all that could be done for a God like you who blesses us in so many ways? Help us to remember that and to act upon it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.